We're continuing our theme of the King who sets us free, and we're following through the book of Colossians. And this morning we'll look at chapter 2, verses starting at verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Christ made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which is not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principle of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to human regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using. According to the commandments of doctrines of men, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Let no man or woman judge you. God is our only judge. Beware the worship of angels, however clever and however many wise folk tell you that they have secret information and who claim to know God better than anyone else. Beware of them. The body of Christ is a growing body. It should not be inhibited or overruled by human traditions and regulations. Walk with the Lord. Put on Christ. And we do not grow if we do not abide in Christ. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no true devotion in any of those things Paul is talking about whatsoever. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us that Jesus opened for us, that's you and me, a new and living way into God's presence. Do you receive that? We have a new and living way into God's presence. We don't need angels or wise men or the religious observance of human traditions, because by the blood of Jesus, we have access right into God's presence. The gospel teaches us to worship God in spirit and in truth, not to live our daily lives according to man-made rituals and observances. We are to worship God through the mediation of Christ alone. Certainly not through self-appointed gurus or through any angels. These things to some may appear to be wise, but they are in fact really just folly. One thing is certain, they do not help us in restraining sexual indulgence. True wisdom is following Christ Jesus and being subject to him, the one and only head of the church. If Christ shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. And Paul is asking the question, if Christ has set you free from human traditions, why are you accepting them? Because as you do so, you're moving away from Christ Jesus. Christ has also set us free from our sins. So why do we choose to go back into these things? I think so often we come unstuck because we listen to the whisperings of the devil. Has God really forgiven you? Does God really mean this? Does God really mean that? And we start listening to him. My advice, tell him to get lost. He understands English, and yet so often we listen to those little whisperings that want us to doubt the things of God. Why do we listen to those who in false humility, ever so humbly, promote human traditions? It's like being set free from bandages and then running straight back into them. Why ditch freedom? The King has set us free. I was thinking about Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees, they tell us what to do and how to live, but they don't follow those lines themselves. Jesus said they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against people. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus? He'd been dead for 4 days, you remember. As Lazarus came back to life, Mary and Martha released him from the grave clothes that were binding him so that he could walk, live, and be free. I cannot believe that he wanted to go straight back in and be bound again, can you? Yet we do just the same with the things that we know that are wrong. We claim God's forgiveness and protection, then we go running straight back into them. Christ has set us free. So let's make sure we don't make the mistake of listening to the rubbish that comes from human traditions. In these few verses, Paul sets out four Gnostic Jewish ideas that Jesus wants us to be freed from, encourages us not to follow in their ways. Firstly, self-denial. That involves a host of regulations about what can be eaten, what can be drunk, and everything else. In other words, it's just a return to the food laws of the Jews, with their list of what's clean and what's unclean. The Gnostics considered all matter to be evil. So if matter's evil, they claim then the body's evil. From this, they draw two conclusions. First, if the body is essentially evil, it doesn't matter what you do with it. Please yourself what you do, how you live, do what you like. It cannot make matters any worse. And secondly, they say this, if the body is evil, then it must be suppressed, beaten and starved. Every impulse must be put down. So what is your choice? Complete immorality or rigid, painful, self-inflicted punishment? And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that they have nothing to do with, he has nothing to do with people who identify the Christian religion with laws like that about food and drink and where you should go and what you shan't touch. He's saying they have nothing to do with people who identify the Christian religion with laws, man-made laws about this and that. In the Gospels, Matthew 15 and Mark 7 underline that very point. Matthew 6:25, words of Jesus. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? The pagans run after all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a message for us today. Seek first God's kingdom. That's where our minds need to be focused. That's where we should be looking. That's where our energy and our strength and our walk with the Lord should be going with. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Peter, remember, had to stop himself talking about what is clean and unclean after God gave him a vision, straightened out his thinking. That's in Acts 10:14. Jesus said, food and drink always ends up being excreted from the body and flushed down the drain. Matthew and Mark, again, include the same words. Sadly today, there are still folk who are more concerned with food and drink than they are about the charity of the gospel. We need to hear that. People are more concerned with food and drink than about the charity of the gospel. Secondly, that Gnostic observation of days, observing yearly feasts, weekly things, monthly new moons, weekly Sabbaths. They had endless list of days which especially belonged to God in their lives. And with that, all of that came this ritual, this legalistic ritual that went with it. And Paul criticizes the stress that these observances put on people, people who identify ritual with religion. Why return to legalism? Why return to ritualism and abandon the freedom you have in Christ? Sadly, in some areas, that ritual of legalism is still alive. We need to be aware of it. Thirdly, there were the Gnostic special visions. They prided themselves about things which they'd seen. Special visions, secret things, certainly not open to everyday folk. They considered themselves at being at the height of holiness. They claimed to see what others couldn't. Danger, of course, is being they saw what they wanted to see rather than what God wanted them to know and to see. You can imagine thinking to themselves, oh, I'm ever so holy, I'm ever so clever, aren't I good? Has nothing to do with the Christian gospel. Lastly, there was the worship of angels. The Jews, as we know, had a very highly developed doctrine of angels, as well as faith in many other kind of intermediaries. They worshipped these. But we know that our worship must be focused and kept for God alone, for Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul makes four criticisms of all this false teaching. He's saying that all these things are only a faint shadow of real religion. Real religion is fellowship with Christ. I think we need to keep holding on to that. Secondly, when they talked about worship of angels, the Gnostics justified their teaching on angels by saying, well, these God's so high, so great, so holy, you can't possibly get in touch with him. You have to work through an angel to reach him. Again, what rubbish. Thirdly, the great truth is that by comparison, Christianity preaches that the way to God is open to everybody. It's not just for special people, bright people, or dim people, or any other sort of people. Everybody. The way to God is open for all, to the most humble, the most down to earth, It's not kept just for a special few who consider themselves special holy people. Paul says that all this can and does lead people to sinful pride, that those who pursue and maintain the ritual and keep all the regulations are in grave danger of feeling especially good, but looking down on other people, judging them. The Christian truth is that folk who think that they're really good probably are never really good, least of all those who consider themselves better than anybody else. His final criticism is that all these things are a return to what? Humanistic slavery. Instead of what? Instead of Christian freedom. We need to have this very clear in our minds, what's being said here. Humanistic slavery or Christian freedom? We have a choice. In any event, humanistic slavery cannot and does not free people from fleshly lusts. All it does is to keep them on a leash. And Christian freedom does not come from restraining desires by rules and regulations. Our freedom comes from the death of evil desires and the springing to life of good desires by virtue of Christ being in Christians and Christians being in Christ. We need Christ within us. The Ten Commandments, Matthew 27:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And I believe that if we do this, we can take the other nine commandments as promises. If we love God like that, we won't murder, we won't steal, we won't lie, we won't cheat, if our mind is focused on God alone. And the question that challenges us today is this: are we free? Are you free? Are we bound by man-made rules and regulations, by other people's behaviour? John 8:36, if Christ shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 1:29, Jesus takes away the sin of the world, but everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We need to be set free from all of that rubbish. As baptized Christians, we have died to sin. Why do we choose to live in it any longer? Why? Do we think God doesn't know? God doesn't care what we do or what we sin or what we say? Of course he does. He sent Jesus to die for us so that we could walk with him. One of the problems with sin is because we've done it once, we think, well, might as well continue because we really enjoyed it. The choice is always ours. Remember, it is the King who sets us free. But what other areas can we lapse into? So often when folk think of sin, they only think of sexual sin. So what are the other areas that the King wants to set us free from? What other things prevent us from being free? Habits. Do you know your own habits? I always do that. I can't change. I don't want to change. I've always done it this way. Our habits sometimes can be bad habits, and sometimes they're very difficult to shift. It's family pressures. Oh, we always do that in our family. Can't change. There's a real danger of living up to other people's expectations rather than what God is calling us to do, to be, and how to live. Sins, not just in deed, but in thought, in word, and deed. I've already said when it comes down to sin, repetition can be a very real problem. Then there's the sin of falling under the control of man rather than the word of God. There are always those who try to pressure us, to lead us to make promises to false and pagan gods. We need to be aware, we need to be clear-minded. People are doing that. Focus on Jesus, him alone. There's always the pressure and control of other people, family, friends, teachers. Well, I can't do that. They wouldn't like it. Or she wouldn't like it. He wouldn't like it if I did that. And we come out of our relationship with Christ, we start walking with man, what man wants us to do. Pride. Pride, again, a very real problem. But it always opens up the door to show a really non-Christian attitude, to my mind. Non-Christian behaviour. Pride is a real problem. And then fear can obviously lead us into making the wrong decisions. Fear of people, fear of events, fear in relationships. Where sin is involved, the fear of being found out. There's so many people bound by fear today. John 1:4-18. Perfect love drives out all fear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not most of it, all of it. Another very real danger today, coveting other people's possessions. We see this so often wanting what someone else has got. It's better, it's newer, it's whiter, it costs more, whatever. Pressure from friends, pressure from other people to live the way that they live, expecting you to do the same. You've heard the cry, come on, everyone does it. Why don't you join in? Everybody does that. We know that. Jesus came to set us free. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus came to set us free. He wants us to live as free people, not bound by human traditions and regulations. And if any of this speaks to you, make sure that you get prayed with today. Don't leave it. Today is the day of salvation. Why linger? God loves you so much, he wants you to be free. Free from all this rubbish. The words of Jesus, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food? The pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom. Whatever else happens, we need to be in the kingdom of God, seeking that, and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. I was struck by the prayer that's supposedly from St. Patrick about abiding in Christ. It says this, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me. I think he's trying to tell us something. We need to be focused and centered on Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. The truth shall set you free. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He shall direct your ways. Amen.
Amen.